With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
This is a proud moment for the United States Senate and for the country, and we're going to win this battle in the very near future.
That is Mitch McConnell talking about the agreement that was arrived at last night in the Senate, this $2.2 trillion plan to provide relief and stimulus to Americans, to people just like you. That was the intention. Let's talk to an expert about if that will be the actual effect. Joel Griffith joins us now with the Heritage Foundation. Joel, it's a pleasure to speak with you. I've been needing to talk to an expert about this all day, so we're really very grateful that you're here.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So I've been watching the votes and waiting for it to culminate, and we've had delays. Granted, we got this $2.2 trillion put together in, what, 5 days or something like that? On Capitol Hill, that's extremely fast. But it was passed unanimously. That means Republicans and Democrats came together and said, this is the solution for right now. What's your assessment of what they've put together? Is it going to give help to the people that need it the most?
It's a mix of good, bad, and ugly. There are definitely components of this that I think should be applauded. But on a whole, this package amounts to hundreds of billions of dollars of wasteful spending. But we can talk about the good. And the good is that this does have some aid directed towards small businesses in the form of SBA loans. Typically, we're not ones to applaud this type of thing, but we have a situation in which state and local governments have shut down entire cities, entire communities, and quite possibly for good cause, but that is through no fault of their own causing these companies to suffer. So we're glad we're getting some aid to them to get them through this time. And there's also a provision that allows companies to roll back losses in this quarter to prior profits in order for them to have some additional cash to get them through this time. But I was very disappointed in particular with the component that addresses unemployment. At the Heritage Foundation, we have been big advocates of an epidemic tax credit that would be a tax credit to employers to go ahead and keep employees on the payroll, even if they can't come into work, even if they can't work remotely. We want to help people like that. But what this program did is actually detach people from the workplace by adding in about close to 1,000 making unemployment benefits equal to an amount that in many cases would actually exceed what people are earning on the job. And we're afraid that once the economy gets back up, where we're actually able to go back to work safely, that's going to be a disincentive for many individuals to work and will actually delay our economic recovery. There's a way to help those that are hurt. There's a way to help those who would be laid off. And unfortunately, Congress took a path that will have some negative consequences attached to it.
We're speaking to the research fellow for the Institute for Economic Freedom and Opportunity at the Heritage Foundation, Joel Griffith, joining us now. Here's Senator Graham yesterday on that particular issue.
Dreams, I never believed we would pass a bill that would give you a pay raise if you got unemployed. I want people to get their income while they're unemployed, but I don't want to increase their wages because you incentivize people to leave their job.
There's so much common sense behind this policy, but I think politically it plays terribly for people to be speaking like this. But it's what responsible, fiscally responsible people have to be thinking, because this is tax dollars that they're spending.
Yeah.
This money has come out of the American taxpayer's wallet before it's going to go back to anywhere else. And we saw some Republican senators try to make this case. It failed on the Senate. Do you think it was good for them to go forward through this and bring this to the American people's forefront?
I think they really should have hammered this point home more. And look, we are what we're not saying. You know, we're trying to say we want to help those who would become unemployed. We want to help businesses keep those individuals on the payroll through the next few months to get through this. I'm all for that. Yes, that would be expensive, but I think that we want to help people keep people attached to that job, so that when things get up and running, they can go back to that place of employment. This is not an either or where you either. You either support this massive expansion of unemployment benefits or you want people to be thrown out on the street. There's another alternative, and that was actually providing businesses dollars to keep these individuals on that company payroll so that when it's safe to open up, they can go back to that job. There was no good reason to go down this other road. And, you know, it was interesting last night, senators are saying, look, this is a drafting error. And I was hoping it was just a drafting error. But then you actually saw people on the other side saying, nope, we actually intended for this legislation to be drafted this way. And at the end of the day, the Senate was not able to or refused to actually amend that provision.
We're speaking with Joel Griffith, economic expert with the Heritage Foundation. Let me ask you, you mentioned, excuse me, about the small businesses. I think that this is a place where a lot of the speak that takes place on Capitol Hill and with experts like yourself can sometimes not translate enough to the people who need to actually access these loans. Can you really simplify for me how small businesses are going to be able to access whatever it is that the Senate has put in place for them to try to keep them afloat so that they can continue to employ people and actually give people those paychecks?
Yeah, so small businesses will be able to access a lending through the Small Business Administration. They'll be able to actually get these loans through their local banks. They can talk to the loan officers there, and they'll have to basically show a profit and loss statement, financials showing the footing they were on financially before the crisis, and they'll be able to get loans within certain parameters to cover payroll expenses over the next several months, rent, utilities, mortgage. And then there's actually a component of this that will allow them to get a portion of that loan forgiven, the portion of the loan that covers some of the payroll expenses, basically roughly equal to about $30,000 per quarter per employee leading up through this crisis. So this is a positive for a lot of small businesses. Of course, it's funny, on the one hand, the federal government is rightfully stepping in and trying to ensure that we don't see millions of these businesses go underwater because their companies are being shut down temporarily. But then if you look at what's being done for certain companies with special with hordes of throngs of lobbyists behind them, you see tens of billions of dollars basically handed over to special interests in the airline industry, for instance, and that was buried in this package. So once again, there's an ugly component along with the good component.
Joel, I got to read this comment to you because this is the best illustration I have seen so far to your point about the unemployment wages being above what the actual working wages would be. I've got a comment from somebody on our Facebook Live, facebook.com/AnnieFryShow, for people who want to watch the show. And it says, I'm kind of ticked off at the extra unemployment above wages. I'm in public utility and still working. However, several of my coworkers are laid off and now will be making over $1,000 more than he will laid off. He says, it's kind of crazy. I'd be way better laid off. Not only am I at risk for the virus and working, I'd be better off at home. I mean, that illustrates it there. That point, on top of obviously people going, being laid off and not necessarily wanting to go back to work and making less money. But when you consider the people who are still working and they are putting themselves at risk by being out there right now, this is a very serious situation we're facing. This commenter here would be better off financially and for his physical well-being if he would have lost his job.
Yeah, because what this package does is I think a lot of people don't know how employment system works, and that's because a lot of us thankfully haven't been laid off in recent years. But usually you get a percentage of your income in the form of unemployment benefits from your state for 26 weeks. And then after that, the federal government steps in. What this package did was basically tack along a federal benefit of hundreds of more dollars each week, regardless of what kind of income you're actually earning prior to getting laid off. And that gets tacked onto the component that the state provides, your individual state. And that is, as the commenter said, that means that a lot of individuals are going to have the decision to make. Do I keep working or do I go ahead and try to end up not being employed in order to actually make more money? And, of course, that is a concern. There was a better way. You can care for those that are hurt and help them and help families without embarking in this dangerous government expansion. But the Senate chose otherwise.
Yeah, it seems very frustrating that knowingly, as you said, if you thought it was an error, knowingly they put this in there. I want to ask about fixed incomes. I had a caller earlier said he's on Social Security. For people who are on fixed incomes right now, is there any change in anything going forward because of this $2.2 trillion stimulus bill?
No, they can rest assured, though, that the payments that they have through Social Security will continue. Those will continue uninterrupted.
So they will continue to get the income that they have been. They don't have to worry about any type of interruption in that.
That is absolutely correct.
Okay. Anything else that you can tell us about the idea? What was it, the fourth stimulus package? We heard it's to the tune of $4 trillion. I mean, I didn't know that the money tree was growing in Washington, D.C.
There's two other interesting things. One having to do with that. Governor Cuomo yesterday of New York was actually speaking in opposition to passing this bill, but that's because he wanted even more money for his state. And, of course, we want to get aid. We want to get direct aid. We want to get temporary aid to handle the health crisis. But some of these governors are looking for a massive bailout of past bad fiscal decisions. Well, that's number one. Number two, there is another part of this bill that hasn't gotten a lot of attention, and that's a several hundred billion dollars that will be set aside to backstop loans made directly by the Federal Reserve to consumers and corporations. So basically, they'll be able to take that few hundred billion dollars, and then the Federal Reserve will be able to lend trillions possibly. And if some of those loans go bad, then that money set aside in this bill will go ahead and make sure that the Federal Reserve doesn't take a loss on those loans. This is something hasn't gotten a lot of attention, but is very important. The Federal Reserve is supposed to be there to provide solvency in our system, to make sure that solvent companies, that they have, that they're able to get access to credit. But this now, what they're going to be embarking on, they're going to start lending directly to businesses and corporations, the Federal Reserve. Now, that's dangerous because there's a lot of opaqueness there. There's not enough transparency. With the Small Business Administration and the federal government making loans through them, at least you have some control. There's some accountability there, and we're able to hold them accountable. This is something with the Federal Reserve making these loans to consumers and businesses separate and apart from the SBA and the Treasury Department. This is something that should give us pause for concern, and I think we should hold off on that until we see if these other measures are actually working.
Well, we appreciate your expertise here, Joel. Thank you so much. We might be reaching out to you again as this continues to move on down the pathway towards trying to get Americans what they need. And it looks like a whole lot of extra stuff in there as well. So, Joel, thank you so much for the time today. We greatly appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Absolutely. We'll speak to you again soon. That's Joel Griffith, the research fellow for the Institute for Economic Freedom and Opportunity at the Heritage Foundation. Certainly, you can visit heritage.org to learn more from a lot of folks there about how they feel regarding this stimulus package. Again, that other one coming down the pike, whoo, man, they got some money that they're going to spend. And I saw somebody tweeted, with the amount of money that this includes completely, Congress is spending, I think it's $10,000 per person to give you $1,200.
Whoo!
Okay. That sounds like some Capitol Hill math. Ugh, frustrating. Ryan Wiggins up next. Hot takes from Ryan Wiggins. Is that right? Is it official?
Yep.
Okay.
He's coming on
next. We're hoping to have him set up completely tomorrow. So this is all very much a work in progress, but we're doing okay. We're muddling through here. And we're very grateful that you're along the ride with us. So thank you for making 97.1 FM Talk a part of your day. And thank you for being a part of the Annie Fry Show family. We are very grateful for you. You can watch us at Facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. Please come on and join the conversation there. As some people have noticed there, I'm able to read some of the comments that come along in this conversation when we have guests on like that, because I want to make sure we get you the answers that you are coming to this show to get. And I know that I don't have all the answers to everything, but I can connect us to people who do. So thank you for being with us. We'll be back with Ryan Wiggins in just a minute.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, everybody knows what that song means. Ryan Wiggins joins us on the show from his remote location somewhere undisclosed to us. Ryan, thanks for giving us a call. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing fine, and that's pretty much my theme song in life, not just on this show. So I appreciate you finding that and digging that up from the vault. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
anytime I walk
into
a room, I just play that song.
Yep.
That's right. Hey,
here it is.
What do you think alike? It's been weird. I mean, I think me and the rest of America and millions of people all realizing both that it's actually possible to work from home with doing many, many jobs, I guess, that we all figured were not possible to do from home, as you're realizing too, Annie, but mm-hmm. that it's also a lot of work to start to work from home, which is why I'm not on with you guys yet, because we're still working on the technical aspects of that, but we should be good to go by tomorrow, I think.
Yeah, Katie and I have spent the last probably 48, 72 hours trying to piece together equipment that normally if we were on a location somewhere and we were broadcasting from opening day, we were supposed to be broadcasting live, well, not in St. Louis, but, you know, live from opening day. You have technical people there who are supposed to set this stuff up. And now we're speaking to the technical people or person, and we're supposed to try to make this function. And it's not always easy, but it's what we got to do. I said yesterday that, you know, if someone was like, oh, could you set up a remote broadcast from your house? I'd say, oh, heck no, I can't do that. But
right.
When you're forced to do it and you got to make it happen, you just sit and you think and you focus. And I think a lot of Americans in their own professions are kind of seeing what they're made of.
Yeah, I heard you guys do highlights at 12:15 or whatever it was, and I heard you say that about opening day, that today was supposed to be opening day. And man, it's amazing how much life has changed and you just adapt to it in 2 weeks. I mean, this feels like, oh, well, this will be the new normal now forever. We know that it won't in our brains, but it's like you emotionally kind of get to the point where you understand, well, this is the reality. We all got to do what we got to do, but it's hard to remind yourself, even as we're sort of ramping up to make sure that we can do these jobs from home, we haven't quite gotten there fully yet, that this will be temporary. And I don't know if you're emotionally there where you're like, well, this is the new normal, even though your brain's telling you opposite, but that's where I've been.
No, you know, I don't look at this as the new normal specifically, but I got to focus on, like, what am I doing today? For instance, okay, we're streaming live right now on Facebook, facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. Tomorrow, we hope that Ryan will be part, of course, with part of the broadcast, and we'll also need to have him, we'll get him up on the live stream that you can watch on Facebook. But when I get up in the morning and I have to walk from my bedroom on the second floor to my basement to do this broadcast, I get dressed. I put, you know, I'm not sitting here in sweats. I take this, I'm trying to mentally prepare myself to take this seriously as a normal, as a job, because I feel like everything kind of starts to blur together. You know, if I weren't doing this, I wouldn't know which way was up. Having the different commitments to coming, you know, going into St. Louis and going into the studio and coming home and seeing the kids when they get home from school or picking them up from school, and living such a hyper-scheduled life, there are some things that I think we have to do to make this a new normal, but I think you also kind of have to hold on to some of the stuff that existed before, and also know that when you go back to what you used to have, it's probably not going to be the same. There are going to be people who are going to be making adaptations about what happens when you go back based on what we're learning about our capabilities right now. And I think that this technology and the ability to work remotely for a lot of different people might have a lasting impact.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, it seems as if corporate America, this is the stuff we were all promised, right? This was the stuff when the internet was coming out and the internet was going to change everything and business is going to look different. We all called it the World Wide Web. This was the promise, was that commerce would be different. The way you work would be different, but it's taken us a while to sort of catch up to that promise. And I think you're right. I think this may be that catalyst that changes that. And of course, I don't think it's going to stay exactly like it is right now forever, but it will change the way we think about work. I mean, I'm hoping it's going to be a good thing where a lot of people who they thought, well, I can never take time off my job, even if my kid's sick or even my kid's whatever. Well, now maybe they have the capability to do that and their work understands, oh, you know what? Things will get done if Susie takes off for a day and tends to her kid, because she can work from home because we've done that. So hopefully there will be positives that come out of this whole situation.
I think that one thing a lot of folks are doing is streaming, and maybe incredibly significantly more than they used to. Katie and I were discussing an idea for you. We want you to have, do you have a lot of streaming platforms at your house?
Well, I'm not supposed to say this. We've got my sister-in-law's Hulu.
We have Hulu. You don't have to tell us how you're a criminal. You could just say, we have Hulu, and nobody would know the difference.
Is that. Let's just rewind. We have Hulu.
Scratch the tape.
And we have Netflix. And we have also Amazon Prime. I won't say how we get that.
You're really bad at this. we want to maybe task you with recommendations for shows that you need to watch. We want you to watch one episode and then we want you to give a recommendation as to whether or not you think people should watch it. Like things that are popular out there right now, we just want you to do one episode of it, and then you can give your thumbs up, thumbs down about whether or not people should commit to the whole series. Are you up for that?
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah, I can probably. I watch a lot of old stuff, but I'll try to find something in my brain that's newer.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, no. We're going to tell you what you watch.
We're going to
first is going to be Tiger King. Are you familiar with this?
I'm familiar with everybody talking about it and saying it's real weird.
Yes.
But I don't know anything about it.
I put it on Twitter last night. And I'm like, somebody explain. I know nothing about it, but everybody is talking about it. Katie, quickly tell me what you told, or tell Ryan what you told me last night that it is, maybe.
I'll do a shortcut of what I told you about it last night, Annie. But I started watching Tiger King this weekend whenever I was experiencing my
That's
first.
That's how you know it's quality, Ryan,
because yes, yeah.
Katie's already watched it.
Exactly. And so I started watching it this weekend, and it's basically following the life of this GW zookeeper, and his name is Joe Exotic. And you're kind of following through, like, how he built his zoo, what's going
Riveting.
On, his
it's important
opponents.
For the culture.
And he's just a character. He's just this very flamboyant man who loves his guns, and he has a lot of people that are his opposition. And so it's following his life, and it's just really wild. It's crazy.
How long are the episodes, Katie? Are they like an hour?
Each episode's about an hour, yeah, because there's a lot of antics that happen and that he gets himself into a lot of trouble. So each episode's about an hour long.
So, Ryan, can you watch by tomorrow? Can you watch the first episode of Tiger King for us, and then you can recommend to the people of the 97.1 Annie Fry Show audience as to whether or not they should listen to the hype or if they should listen to Ryan?
Yeah, I can absolutely do that, because it sounds like what it is the TV version of the movie We Bought a Zoo.
Is that
pretty close?
Is that with Matt Damon? Is that Matt Damon?
Yeah, Family Film.
I knew a cultural reference that Ryan made. That's I feel really smart right now. So you're gonna watch that, and then you're gonna tell us what the hype is. Is it something you can watch with kids around, or is it like
no, not something that you want to watch with kids around?
Okay, I know nothing. I mean, I definitely know nothing. Any other streaming recommendations from Ryan?
So the most recent thing that I've watched that's also something that was made in this century is Electric Dreams on Amazon Prime. It is an anthology series like Twilight Zone where every episode's different, and they're all based on short stories by Philip K. Dick. None of this probably means anything to anybody, but it is a very recent series. I love anthology series where like every episode is a different kind of sci-fi concept, and this is those. Based on the first episode, I thought it was going to be pretty cool. And beyond that, I would say it's great if you're a sci-fi fan. If you're not, this is probably the place to dip your toe in the water.
All right. Well, that's a good one. What's it called again?
Electric Dreams on Prime.
And on Prime. Okay. All right, we're going to work on getting Ryan plugged back into the show and hopefully back with us tomorrow. And we're doing what we can with what we have. And you got the connection, the on-air connection working right before the show started. Is that correct?
We've got just about everything ready except for the fact that we were going to have a tough time communicating with each other. So I think we're pretty much good to go tomorrow, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Ryan. We appreciate it.
Thanks,
Stick yourself at home. We can't wait to hear about Tiger King. I mean, probably.
Yep.
And I hope that you love it. Secretly, I hope that it's like your newest, favoritest thing.
Well, you know that I'll probably be going into it very skeptical because it's something new and I hate new things. So.
No, and not only that, people like it. And if other people like it, you
Ryan
automatically hate it because
That's
you can't
very,
handle
very accurate. That's right.
Well,
That's right.
Put that on the shelf, too. Just sit down. Like, there's no time to be snooty about this.
Yeah,
just sit down and take it for what it's meant to be, not what you want it to be, and then you can tell us if you like it.
Well, we'll see. We'll see tomorrow.
All right. We'll find out. Thanks, Ryan. We'll talk to you soon. Ryan Wiggins going to join us back on the show full time tomorrow as we continue to piece together each different location that we'll be broadcasting from. All three of us will be at a separate place. This is some serious social distancing And look at us go with this technology.
It's going to get these weird.
Yeah, going to. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Katie's got some good stories for us she's going to share with us. And we can also take phone calls. 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797. And join us on the live Facebook stream. You can watch the show, facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to The Annie Fry Show. It's a pleasure to be with you today. Happy, what day is it? Oh, it's Thursday still. Good to be with you. Katie, do your days still feel pretty normal? You're still coming into the studio. We still had Tyrus on today. That means it's Thursday.
Normal with some tweaks.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Normal as in I am still coming to the studio, but man, not having you here, not having Ryan here, it's just so weird. I'm talking to an empty room.
Have you rearranged the furniture in our office yet?
I have not, but I have been thinking that I am going to upgrade my desk and my office space, my area. And so when you and Ryan get back, you could be looking at a brand new Katie with a brand new desk.
Lovely. You're going to actually get a new desk?
No, I'm just going to add some stuff to it. I want to make it feel more like home because everyone is gone in this building, so I just need some comfort.
Something that's relatable, for sure. This from Fox News is reporting right now that President Trump on Thursday said the administration is working to publish new guidelines that will advise governors in states across the nation on potential changes to social distancing based on whether certain counties are low, medium, or high risk for the coronavirus. In a letter from the president to, quote, America's governors, Trump thanked state leaders for stepping up to help America confront the unprecedented global pandemic. And so he's creating something here that is nationally adaptable and adoptable and on a county by county basis, because let's be real about this. If you look at the state of Illinois, certainly that upper right corner, they have a real situation in Chicago that needs to be addressed in a different capacity, in a different way than in Southern Illinois. And that's the way it is across the world. I mean, this is the Electoral College, but in virus form, where you see where the density of people need to have a little more attention when it comes to, you know, those locations need to have a little more attention in Chicago, in New York City, than they may in other places because there are more people there. So the president addressing this said the administration is, quote, working to publish new guidelines for state and local policymakers to use in making decisions about maintaining, increasing or relaxing social distancing and other mitigation measures they have put in place. So interesting to see that he is taking that. It's kind of a way to handle this on a national level, but still allow that power of decision to rest as closely to your local government as possible, which is American. So I'm happy to see that. We'll be interested to see more of the details as it unfolds. All right. Katie, you said you have some stories here. Bill Cosby, everybody's worried about him right now.
Oh, man. Bill Cosby hopes to use the pandemic because, you know, that makes for a really good person.
How do you know he's using it? Why would you put the worst construction on what Bill Cosby is doing right now?
Right, because he's not totally gross and a criminal. he's going to try to use this pandemic as a means to get an early release from prison. According to Deadline, Cosby's spokesperson, Andrew Wyatt, is advocating for his client to serve the rest of his sentence at home. He says, I'm very concerned for Mr. Cosby's health in prison during the coronavirus epidemic. He said in a statement that Mr. Cosby is elderly and blind and always needs to be escorted around the prison by support service inmates. Those inmates could fall victim to the coronavirus and easily spread the disease to Mr. Cosby as they wheel him around in a wheelchair.
Maybe don't wheel him around. Just let him sit there.
Just let him sit and rot. In addition... I'm so nice. Mr. Cosby is constantly in contact with the correction officers who could contract the disease on the outside and bring it inside to the prison, potentially exposing Mr. Cosby to the virus. Wow. If that's...
What about everybody else in that prison?
Correct.
Why would we have any more concern for him than anybody else who is currently in that prison?
If that is not privilege, if that is not elitism, I don't know what is. Everyone that is there is all serving their time for something awful that they have done. Bill Cosby, I'm sorry, you're going to have to do just like the rest of them.
You're not worried about him?
No,
he's
gosh.
An old man.
He and Harvey Weinstein both are just freaking out right now in prison.
Maybe
about
they
this
could hang out together. Put them in the same cell. They could help each other out.
So we had a discussion earlier this week about airlines and them not closing and flights still happening around the United States. Well, Southwest Airlines will be canceling 1,500 daily flights starting Friday in an increase from what the Dallas-based airline said several days ago as demand for air travel plummets even more. Southwest flies about 4,000 flights a day normally, meaning the cancellations represent nearly 40% of the airline's daily service. A statement from their person says, we'll implement the cancellations on a rolling multi-day basis to provide customers with advance notice of changes in alternate flights options. So, yeah, I think they might be the first airline that's kind of saying we need to hold off and cancel some of these flights.
So, is there a date range? Did you give a date range?
This is starting Friday.
And does it say, like, how long the cancellations run through?
It does not.
I wonder if it has to do with that April. Well, that was just Illinois, I guess. Easter. I mean, when you think about the president saying Easter, I would think that a lot of people are now using that as a time frame, like an estimated time frame of at least we're going to be like this until then. And then after Easter, you know, the way I hear what he's saying, having a goal in mind, I appreciate having a time frame that I can work with. I heard Dana Perino saying on the show, I guess it was The Five just the other day, saying something to the effect of, like, when your trainer tells you you're going to do three sets of 12 squats, and then he gets done, he's like, all right, we need you to do one more, and then you whine about it, but you know it's what's good for you, and you do the squats, and then you get through it. Then, you know, okay, all right, I got you. You're asking a little bit more of me because it's the right thing to do. I guess that's kind of the way I see this April-ish, mid-April deadline that the president has put out there.
I definitely understood why he did put that out there, because he is trying to ease some of this panic. He is trying to, I think, put it in all of our heads that this will end. This time period will end. However, I think that, you know, I could estimate, even though, you know, I am not a professional, but I could see this going on a little bit farther than that. And so when he put out that date, I'm like, I don't know. That seems pretty unrealistic, but I get why he did it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
for sure.
How well are we actually social distancing? A tech company is using smartphone data to see where people are taking these instructions seriously. Unicast, a Norwegian company.
Is that creepy?
Totally creepy. And I am someone that really tries to turn off my location, all of that stuff on my smartphone, because I don't want anyone knowing where I am, even though, you know, I'm pretty sure that they know. But I turn off all of my locations. I don't want anyone to know that kind of stuff. So to know that this Unicast is developing a software, seeing where we are and if we're actually implementing social distancing is weird. It's a Norwegian company that collects and analyzes location data from various sources, and it released a study ranking all 50 states and the District of Columbia on social distancing scoreboards. So here are some of the scores that some of these states are getting. Overall, the study found that since February 28th, Americans have reduced their mobility by nearly 40%. Woohoo! Washington, D.C. topped the list, reducing its average mobility by 60%. Followed by Alaska, Nevada, New Jersey, Rhode Island, and they all earned an A on this scoreboard. Meanwhile, Wyoming, the only state to receive an F, ranked 51st with virtually no change.
Wyoming.
Right, with virtually no change in average mobility.
Because you go to Wyoming to social distance. That's right. Why you're in Wyoming.
To get away.
That's why my husband wants to go to Wyoming. If I disappear sometime, if my family disappears, that means we won the lottery and I'm on a horse somewhere behind my husband's horse and I'm holding a shotgun. And I don't know what we're going to be doing on our horses with shotguns, but it's like his dream. Let's just go to Wyoming and ride around on horses and defend ourselves with shotguns and have dogs or something like that. I mean, like, that's why you go to Wyoming, I thought.
Absolutely. And this follows suit because rounding out the bottom five states are Oregon, New Mexico, Idaho, and Montana, all states that, like, you go to deliberately get away from other people. Missouri received a B on the list.
Maybe there's an influx of people who are social distancing headed to Wyoming and causing a problem for Wyoming. What do you call people in Wyoming? Wyomingers.
Wyomingers.
That's
we don't know. Missouri received a B on the list, reduced our average mobility by 30%, but Illinois received an A for reducing their mobility by 41%. Go Illinois.
Winner! Yes! Social distancing champions. I have already received a correction. We will not be holding shotguns. We'll be holding rifles.
Ah,
all right, whatever.
Perfect.
In Wyoming, and he wants beef cattle. See, we'll be self-sufficient. I'll probably be holding a shotgun because I won't know what I'm doing. I know how to fire a shotgun. I know how to fire a rifle, but I don't know why I will have it. Probably because I don't know much about Wyoming. Good grief.
Will you be shooting your own
dinner? I'm helpless. Not this girl. I will eat a cheeseburger if it shows up on my plate or a nice boneless steak, but pretty sure I will not be hunting. If something's going to threaten my kids, though.
There you go.
Sorry, you're toast. For sure. All right, we made it through another day here of a home broadcast. Grateful that you are here with us. We will continue to do this every day, noon to 3, every weekday. We are going to be here as normal. Tomorrow, Ryan Wiggins will join the show. And every time we add a new layer to this, you never know what's going to happen. Neither do we. That's what makes it exciting and terrifying for both of us, and maybe just a little more exciting for you guys to listen in. Dave Glover Show is going to come up next here, so stick around for that. Yesterday, they were wearing their PJs around the office. I can't imagine what they're wearing today. So stick around. I'm sure they'll tell you here in just a second. Dave Glover Show coming up next. 97.1 FM Talk on radio.com. We'll be back tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.